Today we're going to look at a conflict that goes on and probably is the greatest conflict that you'll ever deal with. And you think, well, what would that be? If you were asked of some of the great conflicts in our world, your mind might take you to some of those conflicts of human history that we've had, like some of the wars and the battles in this country or around the world. But the greatest conflict that we deal with has to do with a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. It has to do with a conflict that goes on within us, a battle that goes on inside of us. We're going to be in Galatians this morning. Start with Galatians chapter 5. And let's start with verse 16 and read through 18. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this time that we can come before you. We thank you for your word, and we pray that as your word becomes real in our hearts, that it would feed us and strengthen us and guide us and correct us and give us the structure and the stability that we need today. Lord, help us in this time that we're going through, the things that each one of us are dealing with as individuals. And Father, you know us, and you know what's going on. And Lord, we come before you this morning and ask for your guidance and your wisdom, for your strength. Lord, thank you for your grace, for your compassion, and for your love. Lord, help us to be examples of Jesus Christ in this present day, that we might go forth with that same love and compassion and forgiveness that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to deal with those conflicts that we have within ourselves. Let us walk in the Spirit as your word teaches us. Let us listen to you. Let us respond to what you are telling us to do. Be obedient to your will and bring honor and glory to you in and through the name and the person of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray and thank you. Amen. We're going to start off looking at the heart of the conflict. In every conflict, there is a heart that makes decisions, that does different things, that goes different places. Things that we decide. I want this, or I don't want this, or I'm not going here, I'm going to go there, I'm not going to do this. And we all battle with these things every day. We make decisions all the time, all day long. And many times we don't really think it's a conflict, but if we stop and look at it, any time that we have opposing forces, we have a conflict. And we find many times that conflict wears on us. And that's what we're going to look at today, is this conflict. And in the heart of this conflict, at the heart of every conflict, is desire. There is a desire to do and to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And that's just the flesh part of us. We want certain things. And in the book of James, in chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, he wrote this: "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust at war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." James is addressing them here, and God's word is teaching us that there are wars and fightings that go on among people, even among Christians. And he says they come from the lust that war in your members, down in the body. And in the body there are desires, and again, it goes down to the heart of the matter. As he ends it, that you receive not, you fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because basically you're asking for the wrong reason. Okay, and he's talking about how we pray, and you know, our conflict goes deeper than that. Our prayer life is a result of our relationship or lack of relationship with God. So we find then at the heart is a desire. At the heart of a conflict is a desire. At the root of that desire then is lust. And when we look at lust, what is he talking about? What is the Bible talking about here when it talks about this lust? So we look at these words, and the word that are translated in this passage in James, lust is used three times in that passage I just read. And the first and the last usage are the same Greek word, hedone, and it has to do with pleasure or wanting. And the second uses is epithumio, which has a strong desire or to lust after, to go and pursue. So we see those two usages of this word, lust, that is described here. So we find that the word then translated lust in Galatians, what I read at the beginning, is the word epithumio, which is again that desire and pursuing. So what we find when we look at this is at the heart of a conflict then is a pursuit of our lust. And the Bible points that out in both of these places. We lust after something, we desire something, we want something. Many times that is in conflict with what the Holy Spirit wants in our life, what He wants to lead us into, direct us in. So we have this conflict. I want this. God's saying, you want this. The Holy Spirit's saying, this is the way you should go. And my flesh is saying, this is the way you should go. And we have that going on. To help explain this, what we find is at the heart of the conflict then is a passionate desire. Okay, and a passionate is deep at the heart. Desire. Now, to explain this, I want to give you a bit of an illustration. And I'm going to use a pastor to do that. This pastor decided he was going to go on a diet. Fleshly thing, right? So he announced to his staff he was going to go on a diet. And that was going along fine for a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks went by, and he shows up at the church with his staff, and he has this big, I don't know what sounds good, bear claw. How's a bear claw sound? A big bear claw. And his staff kind of looks at him and he says, you know, well, this was God's will for me today. And went on to explain. When he was on his way to the church that morning, he was praying and he asked the Lord that if God wanted him to have a pastry that day, that he would open up a parking spot right in front of the pastry shop, because he had to drive by there anyway. And he went on to say, after circling the block six times, a spot opened up. So surely it's God's will. And this is the kind of conflict that we have going on within us. So many times we try to make something God's will when it's not God's will. We make it our will and attach it to God. But that's the wrong way to go about it. So at the heart of the conflict, at the heart of this pastor's desire was to get a pastry and blame it on God. And we got to be careful when we don't do that. What we have to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, and when he says, drive by the pastry shop, and go get you some vegetables. Then we need to say, yes, Lord. Or you know what? He might open up a spot first time. Boom, there it is. Because God can do that, can't he? The key is learning to listen to God and not impose upon God our desires. God knows the desires of our heart already. So then, we see at the heart of conflict what takes place, deep down. So where's the location? What I've already mentioned that goes on within us. The heart and the location of this conflict. So it has a beginning. The conflict with the flesh that we have today has a beginning. And it goes back to Satan, who was at the beginning of this conflict. We must understand Satan desires to rule all creation. That's his desire. But it's not going to happen. I know that because he's already been defeated and cast out of heaven. He opposed God. God cast him out of heaven and told him he couldn't rule all of creation. So then Satan desires to rule mankind. But there was a problem because God, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, gave man dominion over the world, over all the earth. So, Satan lost. So what's he going to do about it? What did he do about it is found in chapter 3 of Genesis. We find that his tactics are recorded there. That chapter is known as the fall of man. And it was at that time that man fell under the dominion then of Satan. When God created Adam, he created him to make choices and to listen and to follow him. Satan comes along and deceives him and tricks him. And he chooses to listen to him. What happened there? God already told him, if you do what I tell you, you'll live. If you don't do what I tell you, you're going to die. And that's what happened. Spiritual death happened the instant that he disobeyed God. And that, because of the foundation of mankind started there, because of that, all have been placed under the dominion of Satan, because Satan was... Man gave up his authority of dominion on the earth to Satan. And then Satan is titled as the prince of this world in the Gospel of John and in the book of Ephesians. He became the prince of this world. Therefore, all of mankind is under the authority and the dominion of Satan. But it was not created that way. So we have a conflict going on in mankind. But Jesus redeems us from this dominion of darkness. All of man fell underneath the dominion of Satan. But God had a plan already. Because God is God and God knows all things, he knew what was going to happen with man's choices. He knew what Satan was going to do. And he already had it set up to take care of it himself. And he did that in the person of Jesus Christ. So through Jesus, he redeems us. And he redeems us by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14 says, "Who, speaking of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So we lost our eternal life in Adam. And we gained our eternal life in Jesus Christ. What man gave up in the Garden of Eden, mankind gave away, Jesus purchased again. And he did that at the cost of his own self, the cost of his own blood, at his life. And he did that for us. But yet, he didn't force it upon all of mankind. He paid for everyone, and then he gives it to you as a gift to receive freely or to reject. But because Satan lost, and Satan tried to stop Christ. He's tried to stop him. He tried to not let it happen. He thought he was winning by getting rid of this Redeemer, but he didn't. And Satan doesn't quit because he still has an inlet into our lives, and that is the flesh. He still comes after you. He still tries to cause you to stumble. He still sets things out there in front of you to lure you off. That's who he is. Did he do it to the Old Testament saints? Did he do it to the New Testament? Did he do it in the early church? Yes, he did. Those tactics, because he knows the flesh. He knows where our desires in the flesh lie. He's been with us since the beginning. And he knows. He knew how to get to Adam and Eve. And he's known how to get to everyone since that time. But God, through Jesus Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we have been given the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil, having the full armor of God, and being able to proclaim the name of Jesus and the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? We can stand. Can we take Satan on in the flesh? Absolutely not. Can we take him on through Jesus Christ? When we put it in Jesus' hands, it's already taken care of. So we must understand that the location of the conflict that goes on is not out there somewhere, not across the world somewhere. It is within. Within each one of us. And I want to read to you how Paul describes that. In Romans chapter 7. You would think, well, Paul wouldn't have gone through all of that. But look what he wrote in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul well understood the battle that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is very aggressive, very demanding, bossy, controlling. If you don't believe so, just deny your flesh something that it's wanting and see how aggressive it gets. This is the location of the conflict, is right there inside of you. When we look at the opponents then in this conflict, every conflict has to have opponents. We have the flesh. And when we describe the flesh, the description of the flesh, I found one place it reads this way. It says, the flesh denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from the divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. That's a description of the flesh in the Bible. Earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. Separated from God, that's all we have, is the flesh. Not being born again, all we have is the flesh. It takes that spiritual birth for us to be able to have the Spirit of God in us. So the desire of the flesh then is pleasure and self-glorification. The desire of the flesh is about the flesh and to make the flesh look good. The other opponent in the conflict is the Holy Spirit. And when we look and try to describe the Holy Spirit, the answer is very clearly stated in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is God. And in Acts 5, you can look that up and find that. And we find also then that the Holy Spirit also indwells every believer. Every person? No. But everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We have the privilege of having God the Spirit within us as believers. Why would he do that? Because he knows, and he has always known, the power of the flesh. And he's always given us the opportunity to choose him or not choose him. And it continues. And the flesh naturally does not choose God. It chooses the flesh. So he gives us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living within us. And because of that, we start having these conflicts within ourselves of doing it our way or doing it God's way, or doing it the man's way or the world's way, or doing it God's way. It's real easy. The flesh says, well, I'm just not going to read the Bible, then I won't know. And I'm not accountable. Well, we are accountable. We will all stand before God, whether we are saved or whether we are not saved, whether we have eternal life or whether we have eternal death. Whatever state we are in, we will stand before God. What we have done with Jesus Christ, we will stand before God with that. So as believers, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I could not imagine living today without the Holy Spirit. I can't. I can't imagine what it would be like not having the Holy Spirit to guide me, to direct me, to teach me, to tell me to be quiet, to tell me to talk out, to tell me to listen, to tell me to, this is what this passage means. To teach me Christ-likeness, to show me God's plan, to show me God's future for me. Imagine only having the prince of this world to rule over you. Wow. And how many people are clueless? But at the point that we receive Jesus Christ, at the point we realize our sins have separated us from God, and that we realize then that Jesus Christ brought that reconciliation back to us so that we could have eternal life, and we choose to accept that, when that takes place, we have the Holy Spirit coming into our life, God with us. And Jesus describes in the Gospel of John that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom he will send back after he ascended, would guide us and teach us all things. We're blessed today as believers. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the Spirit of God in us. Wow, it's amazing. So then what is the desire of the Holy Spirit? If the flesh has a desire to please self, does the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit desires holiness for us and to glorify God. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always points to the Father. And together they are all one. Amazing. But they have different purposes and different ways they work in our life. And yet, in complete unison. So we have the opponents of the flesh and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, battling within us as believers. Let me ask you, Christians, this morning, do you have a battle going on? Have you tried to say, well, I'm going to start getting up and reading my Bible in the morning? How many times have you done that? And, wow, something happened and got you off course. How many times have you said, you know what, I'm going to go pray, and something happens? It's amazing how easily we respond to our flesh demands and how easy we push off what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. Which one are we with eternally? Your flesh is not eternal. But your spiritual life, your spiritual body is. Wow. My flesh has made a lot of bad choices. How about yours? Has God made any? You know, I've made some choices in life that I wish I could go back and change. But God made it perfect. If I'd have just listened to Him to start with and did what He said, I wouldn't have gone through those things in quite the manner that I did. That is the conflict that goes on within all of us. So our last point then is, who rules? Who is ruling today? If there is a conflict and if we have opposing forces, who is ruling in your life? You know, we cannot walk in two directions. Have you ever tried that? You can't do it. You can't walk in two directions. Point 1 foot one way and 1 foot the other way, and you still can't go anywhere. All you do is fall down. You set your mind to go, and you turn your body, and you go that direction. But what is actually going? Well, the flesh is what's going, but it's because of internal control that makes it go, right? You walk because you decide to walk. You choose to walk. You stand still, you sit, because you choose to. And that's the choices we make every day, are things just like that. The difference in listening to the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit says, walk, then we need to learn to walk. But the flesh says, I'm tired, I don't want to walk. Who wins? Who are we listening to? Who rules? We cannot go in two directions. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. In other words, go the way God leads, and you will not get tangled up in the desires of this world. That word walk means to live following the Spirit. Live following the Spirit. I know it's so much easier to follow the flesh. It's so much easier to do with the things that I can see. The Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So many people try to worship God with the flesh alone, with just the outward man. And God knows the difference. So we have a conflict. How do we make the flesh and the spirit work together? We learn to listen to the Spirit. How do we do that? How can I listen? How do I know it's a spirit and not the flesh? The Spirit always causes you to respond and act and look like Christ. The flesh does not. We need to learn to go where He goes. When the Spirit leads us, the Bible says He will lead us into all truth. If you want to know the truth about a situation, God is the truth, by the way. Not scientists, not educators. God is. God knows where we came from. God knows how we are put together. He is the truth. Go to Him for our information. Go where He goes. Learn to listen to His voice. I had a good example of that. It just happened last month when I was baling hay. And you think, well, how could that be? Listening to the Holy Spirit while you're out baling hay? The key is we learn to listen to God all the time. And I was baling hay and thinking about whatever I was thinking about when I'm out baling hay. I don't know. I don't even know what I was thinking about. But boom. The Lord told me, check your twine. Okay. I stopped the tractor. I went back, and I had a spool that had about this much twine left on it. The next bale, I would have pulled the twine through the machine and had to rethread the whole thing, and it would have taken a while to get everything straightened back out again, a little bit. Because I stopped when I did, I went and got twine, put the spool in, and went on my way. But God was working with me, saying, you know what, listen to me. And it's taken years to learn to listen to God. Because I listen and I think, that's not God. It can't be God. That's just my conscience. That's just whatever. But I've had too many times that He told me to do something and I didn't do it, that I've learned when He says to do something, do it. He's not trying to harm you or hurt you. And just like that little example, it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there, knowing, and just taking care of these little things. But if we don't listen to Him in the little things, will we listen to Him in the big things? If we don't trust Him with the little things, will we trust Him with bigger things? If we can't trust Him to make the right choice in our life in every situation, then we won't trust Him to make any choices in our life. We need to learn to listen to His voice. I've been asked several times, well, how do you know that God is speaking? If a woman calls me on the phone and she starts talking to me like my wife, and she has my wife's voice, I expect that to be my wife. But if a woman calls me on the phone and starts talking to me like my wife, and that's not my wife's voice, then I have a problem. How do I know the difference? Because I have a relationship with my wife, and I spend time talking to my wife all the time. I know what she sounds like. I know her remarks. I know her sarcasm and her jokes and all of those things. And you know what? That's what it's like with God. You can't know God's voice when you don't listen to Him, when you don't communicate with Him, when you don't talk to Him. But when you do, then you know that's who it is. Because Satan is still trying to get you, though, he will try to deceive you in that area as well. And the Bible tells us to try the spirits. Test them. If you believe God's speaking to you, what is He wanting? What is He telling you to do? Does it contradict the Word of God? Does it contradict Jesus Christ? If it does, it's not of God. God does not contradict Himself. Learn to listen. Discern His will. What is God's will in this situation? Follow His guidance. One of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit is our guide. If you've ever been in a hunting trip, fishing trip, pack trip, hiking trip, whatever, someplace you've never been before, a lot of times people hire a guide to help them to get through the area that they're going to be going through so they don't get lost, so they don't have troubles. Someone that knows more than they do about the situation to help them along. And that's what God gave us in the person of the Holy Spirit, is someone to guide us through life. That's why He's telling us, walk in the Spirit, walk following the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you in your life so that you can go down the right path. Learn to follow. So to walk in the flesh means we are listening to the flesh. To walk in the Spirit means we're listening to the Spirit. So then how can believers walk in the Holy Spirit? How can we do this? How can we go that direction? The first thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot follow the Spirit of God until you have the Spirit of God. And you cannot have the Spirit of God until you've confessed your sin to Christ and accepted His payment for that sin and asked Him to come into your life. And when it's genuine, when it's true, He does. And He changes your life from that moment through eternity. You will never be the same person again. And at that same time, He gives you His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct and teach. And He tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Another way we can walk in the Spirit is die to self daily. Die to our self-desires, our self-will. Just like the pastor that wanted a pastry. You know what? Some things aren't good for us. We've got to watch that. Our flesh says, I ain't going to hurt you. You're going to die anyway. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what? Between then and now, you live. So how we live does matter. We need to live listening to the Holy Spirit, walking the way He wants us to. And self, dying to self is probably best illustrated by fasting in the Bible, showing that my flesh wants something, but my spirit says no. And just like a child, every so often we have to tell him, no, you do not need that. And their flesh becomes accustomed to saying, you know what? They said I can't have it, so I'm not going to have it. I'm not even going to ask at this time. Because they learned. That's what we need to learn from the Holy Spirit. Letting the things that the Spirit tells us are not good for us to die. Just push them aside. We need to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. When I think of yield, I think of a couple of roads coming together. One has a yield sign and one don't. We as believers have the yield sign. What it's telling us is we need to get behind the Holy Spirit, not in front of. We are not the leader of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the leader of us. He is our guide. We need to learn that. We need to submit ourselves to that. We need to devote ourselves to the Lord. Devote. You know, we can devote ourselves to all kinds of things in this world. Committees, clubs, organizations, all kinds of things. But where and how are we devoted to the Lord in this life? What have we given to the Lord of the things that He has given us to possess? I mean, I don't have anything to give to the Lord. Wrong answer. You have you. You are what He really wants, not your things. He wants you. He wants that relationship with you. You need to learn to discipline your life through spiritual disciplines. Like I previously mentioned, prayer, fasting, Bible study, witnessing, the things the Bible tells us to do, the things that will make us more like Christ, the things that will strengthen us and cause us to be godly in this present age. Who rules in your life? I heard a cowboy poet describe it one time this way, that there was two bulls fighting. And for a while, one bull would seem to be winning, and then the other bull would seem to be winning. And he went on to describe that the bull that was winning was the one we were feeding, the one we were supporting. And that's what it's like in our life. That's what this conflict is like. Who are we letting rule in our life? Our flesh or the Spirit of God? If we're letting the flesh rule, the flesh will rule. If we let the Spirit rule, the Spirit will rule. And if we say, well, it doesn't really matter, I'll let whoever wants to rule, rule, I can guarantee you who's going to rule. It's going to be the flesh. Because the Spirit has been described as a gentleman. He doesn't come along and push his way through. He does it because you want Him there. You want Him to rule. God doesn't push on us. He lays it out clear and plain and simple and lays all the answers out before us, and He says, you choose. And it's insane when we put the two out there on the table. There's no comparison between the things of God and the things of the flesh. Not a comparison. And how many people still choose the things of the flesh? Because it's our nature to do so. We go clear back into the beginning and under the dominion of the Satan. The flesh is natural for lost man. But the Spirit is the right choice and the natural thing for a saved person. For those who have God in them. So in this great conflict, we find the Spirit and the flesh. And the Bible describes that these are contrary the one to the other. They're opposing forces. They're contrary. And the Bible instructs us to walk in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit, lead, be led of the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts, the desires, the pleasures that the flesh wants to get tangled up in. Trust the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. And it's your choice. No one can tell you. People try, but you know what? Ultimately, it comes down to our choice. Because when you're alone in secret, you can still choose to do the wrong things. When nobody knows, but God always knows, and you always know. And the key is listening to God. Walk in the Spirit. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, and we thank you for this time that we can gather in your name. And Father, may you be exalted and magnified, glorified here in this place. In our lives, Lord, you know every one of us. You know what's going on in our life today. You know the conflicts that we have had in the past, the ones that we will have in the future, the ones that we are currently involved in. You know the bad choices we've made in the past, and you know where we have surrendered to your will. You know us. Lord, help every one of us to know you, to get to that point in our life that we can answer you because we know that that is you working and talking and leading. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself available to us as mere humans, for providing for us salvation through Jesus Christ, for pouring out your love, and yet still giving us the ability to choose or reject you. Lord, I pray that you would work with each one of our hearts here today. You know us. You know what we need. You know the battles that we have. And Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for strength. I pray for guidance. I pray for salvation for anyone that might be here today that has never trusted you as Savior. I pray for growth in believers that have accepted you and maybe are not growing. That they would be led of your Spirit to grow closer to you. To be strengthened in the inner man, the spiritual man. Lord, help us to go out of these doors today knowing that you walk with us. You're here with us. Everything in front of us, we know that you're there with us. And that we can rely on you and we can trust you because you are God. And you can be trusted. You are truth. Thank you, Lord. Let us be faithful to you. Let us learn to limit our flesh and to feed our spirit. Let us learn to let you rule more and more in the days ahead, that you might be exalted and magnified in our lives. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So music plays this morning. Let the Lord work in your life. Just your head bowed for a little bit and spend these few moments with the Lord and respond to Him.